Before we get started with this episode, I wanted to let you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. In honor of this, I'm making my signature course, Resiliency Sprint, 50% off just for podcast listeners. You also get lifetime access to CBT Family Toolbox, over 100 activities, resources, and ideas to bring cognitive behavioral tools to your family. Head to childanxietysupport.com/resiliencysprint to learn all about this foundational course. And when you sign up, use code PODCAST to get 50% off both the coached and uncoached versions. This offer is only good till May 31st, so make sure you sign up now. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Child Anxiety Fact Podcast. My name is Dawn Friedman, and I'm the owner of Child Anxiety Support, a membership for parents of anxious kids. I have my master's in clinical counseling and additional postgraduate training in child anxiety disorders, including exposure and response prevention and the Supportive Parenting for Anxious Childhood Emotions Program, or SPACE program, which was designed by Dr. Ellie Lebowitz of the Yale Child Study Center. I'm also certified in infant toddler mental health. FAQ stands for Frequently Asked Questions, and each week I'll be answering your questions about childhood and teen anxiety. Let's get started. Happy Wednesday, everybody. This week's question is, how do I help a child with separation anxiety go to sleep? I like this question because the person asking it already knows something that a lot of parents miss, which is that sometimes our bedtime challenges with kids have to do with separation anxiety. Now, remember that anxiety is more than a preference. Lots of children would prefer to sleep with their parents or have their parents lay down with them to help them fall asleep. And this is absolutely fine, as long as it's fine for the family. Bedtime routines and co-sleeping are personal family choices, and if it's working for your family, then great. The concern is when it's not working for the family. The concern is when a parent wants time alone in the evening and can't get that time because they have to lay down with their kids, or when parents and kids are losing sleep, or when a child would like to go to a slumber party or a sleepover at a grandparent's house, but they're afraid and so are reluctantly missing out. It's also okay to focus on change because the parents want change, even if the child doesn't. Maybe they're sick of lying down with their kids every night. Maybe they're sick of the tantrums when they try to leave. Maybe they want their beds back to themselves and can't get their kids to move. Often the parents I talk to feel guilty because when they push their children to sleep on their own, the kids seem truly unhappy and afraid. The parents may worry that their own need for space or time alone or privacy is selfish. To that I say, if it's not working, then it's not working. And the answer isn't and shouldn't always be that parents just have to suck it up, buttercup. No. This is especially true when we're talking about anxiety. If we've identified separation anxiety as the issue, then it needs attention, because anxiety does not get better without a plan. If you're not sure whether or not it's separation anxiety, you can look to see if worries about separation are present in other areas for your family. For example, does your child struggle with playdates or in getting dropped off at school? Do they call home from school, go to the nurse's office because they worry they're getting sick? Maybe they just really struggle to get out the door. Maybe the parent has trouble leaving the house without their child. I've talked to parents whose kids will chase the car down the road because they don't want their parents to leave. Sometimes parents report to me that they aren't able to go down to the basement to do laundry, or that their child will check in if the parent is in the shower too long. But often the problem starts with sleep issues. And I'll say as an aside, if it's not anxiety and it is a preference on your child's part, if separation anxiety isn't present anywhere else, it's still okay to change things up if you need things to change. It'll probably just be a little bit easier. Anyway, back to separation anxiety and sleep. Starting with sleep can make sense for anxiety intervention because it's a regular routine for the family. Anxiety interventions tend to work best when we're dealing with something that comes up a lot, because it gives us lots of practice. Remember that anxiety is about avoidance, and what the child wants to avoid is separation from you. So what you're going to need to do is separate. This sounds simple, but of course it's complicated. In the Child Anxiety Support Program, specifically the Strong Kids, Strong Families course, we talk about the way to design a personalized plan to address your child's anxiety. The plan needs to include what to do when things go badly. This isn't pessimistic, it's just realistic. Children who don't want to do things that scare them will try not to do them. They'll cry, they'll beg and plead, they may melt down, they may get destructive. We need to know what to do when this happens. We need to recognize it as an anxiety response and prepare to care for our kids through it and for ourselves. It's not easy to see our children struggle, and it's not easy to be the target of that struggle. Not only will we feel impatient and maybe even angry, we also are likely to feel guilty or worried that what we're doing will somehow harm our child. When we plan for the worst case scenario, then we're ready to lovingly, respectfully, and supportively address the anxiety. We know what to do. We already have a response plan in place that feels good to us. Every child and family and parent is different, so your plan needs to make sense for your child and for you, and it needs to be safe for everyone. I remember talking to a parent about addressing sleep issues with their child, and as they talked through their own fears about what might happen, they recognized that some of those fears were frankly unrealistic. They also realized that, like their child, they were avoiding their own anxiety. Just as their child was avoiding separation because they were anxious about being alone, the parent was avoiding upsetting their child because the parent was anxious about the child's reactions. This is why the process itself is so important. Not only are you helping your child to face their anxiety, you are learning to address and manage your own concerns and anxiety about your child. This is good stuff. It's why facing child anxiety heals the whole family. You might notice here that the first step in helping a child with separation anxiety go to sleep, which was the original question, remember? It was, how do I help a child with separation anxiety go to sleep? It's not focusing on the sleep part. It's focusing on the anxiety. Sleep is going to come later, sometimes much later, that night. I would assume people were going to get to bed late the night they start their intervention. I would assume that it's just going to be kind of messy. And sometimes much later in the process, because sometimes it takes time to bring a new routine and get everybody actually functioning. But not always. Sometimes it happens more quickly. Sometimes when kids get a taste of their ability to face their fears, they do better. They get stronger. They grow more quickly than we expected. It depends on the child. It depends on the plan. It depends on the parent's ability to execute that plan. And it depends on how entrenched the family is in their child's anxiety. The longer the family has been avoiding dealing with the anxiety, the harder it's likely to be to get unstuck. But what a great motivator to deal with it now, right? It'll never be easier than right now. Now, if you need help for an under 5-year-old and getting them to sleep, I'd encourage you to check out McCall Gordon's work at littlelivewires.com. I will add the link in the show notes. She's brilliant. She's a fantastic sleep coach. She's done a ton of research about this. She works at a university, and so when I say research, I mean real research. And she's really great at working with families struggling to get under 5-year-olds to sleep. But if your child is 5 years or older and you're still struggling with bedtime separation, please reach out to me. If you go to my website at childanxietysupport.com and choose the contact page, you'll be able to use that contact form or even schedule a quick free Zoom consult to learn more about the program and see if it's a fit for your family. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you have a question you would like me to answer on the show, please go to childanxietysupport.com/FAQ.
And if you'd like to learn more about the Child Anxiety Support membership, please go to childanxietysupport.com. The membership offers courses, live events, and community to help you design a personalized program to free your family from the trap of child anxiety. I hope you'll consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing it with any friends or family who you think might find it helpful. You can get more of my child anxiety content over at Instagram, where I'm Dawn Friedman, MSED, or on Facebook at the Child Anxiety Support page. Thanks again, and have a great week.